The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our first proper episode of Season 5. If you just joined us, I'm Robin from At a Tired Witch Everywhere, and I'm joined by the beautiful, the talented Maria the Arcane from Everywhere.
Hello. Well, yes, I am talented. Thank you. Thank you for recognizing that, ma'am.
Wow.
But anyways, we did want to tell you guys that we have an amazing class on Magical Beginnings, our Patreon, that will be hosted by Rachel Henderson, author of Sue Witchy, and a bunch of other books that are absolutely
Rosemary
amazing.
Rosemary and Sage, right? Is what one of them?
The Scent of Lemon and Rosemary.
That was close.
Which is a Hestia book. So she's all about that home and hearth witchery, which you guys know I am about. So,
yes.
But she's teaching a class on craft magic January 28th. And she's even going to be doing like a little craft with everyone where you make your own air dry, like clay incense holders, which I is pretty cool. And also, for our coffee talks, please keep sending us your submissions for ghost stories, funny stories, or even just witchy stories. And you can even call us at 351-207-0799, which is our voicemail service. So you can just leave us a voicemail with your story.
So exciting. I'm really excited to start playing those next time. For those of you who have sent us one, thank you so much. They're so good. I'm excited.
I haven't listened to them yet, so I can't wait to listen to them. I'm gonna remain surprised. Remain surprised.
I am arriving excited and surprised. Thank you.
That's how I want to enter everything in my life. Thank you. Yes.
That's so funny. If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how we can utilize those in our magical practices. So actually this episode comes out on January 26th, which is actually the last day of the full moon in Leo. So it started on the 24th. The main 100% was the 25th. So yesterday. So it's not too late to utilize the full moon in Leo this month. If you're listening on the day that this comes out. And full moons in Leo I think they're pretty great. They're all about encouraging us with our self-worth and just kind of putting fires underneath us in terms of like confidence and even sexuality sometimes, and just really being, I don't know, feeling 100% and present. So if I was utilizing the full moon in Leo, for me personally, I would be doing things like finding your voice oils. I think we've done that before in Patreon for group stuff or something very similar, but I would be utilizing like oils that I could put on my body when I needed to have my voice, when I needed to be confident. Mm-hmm. So if perhaps I was going in for a job interview, giving a presentation, gonna approach somebody romantically that I maybe was feeling a little nervous about it, I would be making an oil on this time specifically for that I could wear. Simultaneously, we could do charming, jewelry mm-hmm. for that. There's hairs. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen the Redheaded Witch. She posted once a protection hairspray that mm-hmm. she uses. You could utilize the exact same concept for confidence, for finding, you know, our fire. I don't know. I think that that would be really fun.
Yeah. What about Leah you? Has like the most amazing hair, by the
She's
way.
She's got the most amazing hair, but simultaneously, I really think that her perspectives on those sort of things are, in my opinion, quite unique.
Oh, of course. 100%.
Yeah. And I just think, I don't know. I think that's really fun and mm-hmm. resourceful.
Yeah. For me, Leo is definitely about self and strength and happiness. I think, you know, many of us, especially parents, we tend to put our happiness aside in life by, like, you know, we have all these responsibilities we gotta do mm-hmm. and things we need to take care of, which Leo is also about, you know, it's kind of like taking that leadership role. But I think also Leo, you know, is the stresses the importance of self, as I said, and sometimes we do need to be a little bit selfish and do something that makes us happy, even for like a little bit. And I think doing spell work where it kind of like facilitates some happiness in your life, mm-hmm. You know, making time and space for yourself to be happy. I don't know. I think that would be very beautiful spell work that if you need just a little bit of like sun in your life, since we're still in the middle of winter and it's yeah. still really, really dark. But yeah, just
making you know, some space actually for bouncing off yourself. Of that, because we mm-hmm. are in the middle of winter. If you didn't want to do a specific spell and you just wanted to do some sort of like ritual act, this mm-hmm. would be a really good moon to do something about bringing back the sun and just having that kind of moment of remembering that warm is coming.
Yes, absolutely. Please come
I think that would be quite nice too. So, I don't know. I like Leo full moons.
Me too.
I think they're very appropriate to come after the Cancer full moon that we had last month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's and the introvert followed by the extrovert, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and technically, you can actually honor the sun and the moon at the same time on Friday, because the moon rises at 6 p.m. when the sun is still awake. So you could kind of maybe work with both together.
That would be cute. I like that idea.
Thank you. Oh,
you're so clever. Circling back to how smart and talented she is, guys.
Thanks. So in previous seasons for this section of the pod, we have gone over individual meanings of tarot cards. And last season, we discussed like the whole different sections in tarot, like the major arcana, the minor, aces, court cards, etc.
Everything. Yeah.
And so this season, we are going over some of the themes we see in the cards, such as love, friendship, and so on. Robin and I have some differing opinions, as all readers do, so it may help expand your views on like different meanings, or if you're a new reader, find your own themes when it comes to the cards. We won't be able to get through like every card that may symbolize a particular theme, but rather we will talk about 3 to 4 cards each that resonate with us the most. So this week, I thought we would discuss a card that represents the theme of winter. We are definitely in the thick of it right now, not even halfway through. So yes, it's beautiful. but you can't mention winter without like thinking of the Hermit card. The snow on the card aside, most of us, not all, tend to hibernate in the winter. We spend time reconnecting with ourselves. We journal, we do shadow work. We may even dig into books, like especially if you're like me. And we look back at our lives from like the past year or even further to see what has or hasn't worked for us so far, so we can start, you know, this new year off on the right foot. And like, you know, we have come so far, even if we don't feel like we have, we can plot our way forward using the knowledge that we've attained during this time, especially looking at our past knowledge and letting our dreams for the future illuminate our way forward. The Hermit to me kind of like...
Illuminate?
Thank you. The Hermit to me kind of represents when the Emperor retires or goes on a personal retreat. I mean, if you look at them, they look very similar. Very similar. The way this relates to winter is just like relinquishing control for a bit and just being. But
yeah,
the next card, the moon, for me shows like the restlessness that tends to creep up on us during this time, especially like the further in winter we get, when it isn't quite spring, it is still cold. It may even still be snowing in your neck of the woods, especially Robin's.
Yeah. It's actually raining here. I don't know if you've read the news, but California is underwater, baby.
Well, you just wait. When March rolls around, you'll be like, it freaking snowed. Or even in April.
It did snow here. It did snow here once, and then it immediately rained. And so everything was just ice. I was like, this is good. I'm really glad to be driving in this weather.
Yes. No, thank you. But yeah, so if you're iced in or anything like that, you know, we have this like home and hearth stuff going on, staying cozy and staying indoors. So we kind of step into the primary role of being the domesticated dog and the lobster on this card. And like our inner wolves, our untamed sides start to feel a little caged and it longs to get out. Obviously, when this card pops up in a winter reading, I definitely say, cold or not, get out of the house, go on a run. Go, you know, even if it's in the snow, go play in it like a child, you know, bundle up and go on a walk, or just go outside and like, you know, be weird, go howl at the moon, or go scream out your frustrations about how it snowed once again and you have to dig out your car in the morning. But last but not least, I had to mention the Four Swords for this period of time. Rest is such a major theme in winter, and we have gone over, you know, we've gone over it in previous cards, but this card emphasizes how important resting is when you need to during winter, and how for most of us it can be good for our mental health. Now, just because it is good for us and we should be allowed to do it doesn't mean, you know, our good old Betty capitalism lets you. But regardless, this card reminds us to take time when we need it, so you can keep fighting when you are ready, just like spring will when it begins. How about you? Couple of cards.
First of all, I really like this theme. I just wanted to say that. but my first recommendation for winter, or things I see for winter, is the Five of Pentacles. I mean, it is quite literally the imagery showing like a snowy situation, but it also talks about being in the cold, being left outside, etc. And when we have it in reverse, it talks about coming into the warmth, right? And I think that that is kind of a very literal translation of winter. The next one I have is the Queen of Swords. And the Queen of Swords is like this solo badass, right?
I love her.
But she's also very like protective, and she's very into like one-on-one conversations with other people, having things like constructive criticism, etc. Right? And what is more winter than holing up in your home with somebody that you care about and having like cozy but also deep conversations, because you can't go outside. She's direct. She's all about communication. She's all about like that protective quality. She's kind of a mom, but all the queens are. And in this case, I see that really being a healthy and effective way to spend time with other people when you can't go outside.
Yeah, I feel like the Queen of Swords is like the mom who's just sick of everyone's crap.
She is, and she's like the, I get that we're all indoors and stir crazy, but we're gonna deal with this in a real way, and we're gonna stop fighting and remember that we love each other. And I like that. I think that that's really nice. So
yeah,
I don't know, I think she's a good winter card. And then the final one I have is the Ace of Swords reversed, because the Ace of Swords, when it's upright, is all about like mental clarity, being swift, right? And when we have it in reverse, it's very much so slowing down. It's very much so, you know, allowing our bodies to rest, our minds to rest, all of those things that we can utilize when we can't be going outside, when we have a snow day, let's say, so you don't get to go to work or school or whatever. It's you know, taking that time to slow down and appreciate ourselves and our minds and our bodies in just kind of a different way. So I don't know.
I love those. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. So this week, we thought for the main discussion, we would talk about hexes and curses, not specifically how to do them, but instead how to diagnose them, how to remove them, etc. Marie and I have been kind of back and forthing this topic since September? Mm-hmm. Because we have collectively seen a couple of worrisome posts on the internet, a little misinformation, a little fear-mongering, and we all know how we feel about that. So Marie and I thought that we would just kind of talk about it from our perspectives. Again, as always, if this doesn't mm-hmm. resonate with you, take what you want, leave what you don't. But this mm-hmm. is our experiences on that. So starting off strong, Maria, if you thought you might be hexed, mm-hmm. before we even get to the diagnosing, what might symptoms of being hexed look like?
Okay, can I first say my opinion on hexing?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't think hexing is as dominant as everyone thinks it is, especially the average witch who isn't in the public eye or hasn't made enemies with covens or magical practitioners online or in person.
Most solitary practitioners will never be hexed.
I think it is really easy to blame hexing on just plain old bad luck. Do I think the average non-witch can throw around their energy? Absolutely. But 1,000%. I also think many of us, especially adults and even non-magical folk, have natural defenses. Can these defenses be weak at times? Obviously. When it comes to hexing, if you don't know any magical practitioners you've pissed off and you aren't in the public eye, then the chances of you being hexed is so slim to none. It's so slim. And let's say that you've pissed off the wrong, the wrong magical practitioner. In my experience, hexes are worse than bad luck. It is when things keep happening that seem way out of the norm. It can be hyper-specific things that happen that is just unexplainable. For instance, let's say this person who was hexed, is about to get a promotion for a job. They've got it in the bag. And it's even basically been confirmed. And the day comes and they don't get it. Or let's say your business is suffering, even though nothing about your business has changed. And social media isn't being all weird and stuff. there's nothing, there's nothing that could be causing this decline in sales or whatever. Or yeah. You might even be suffering ailments that you can't explain, nor doctors, because you should always, always, always go for the mundane reasons first. Don't think that you're sick, so you think you got hexed. No, please. We catch colds. That things are floating around everywhere right now.
Don't I know it, girl.
But yeah, I think diagnosing hexes is much like ghost hunting. You've got to go over the mundane reasons first. But my favorite way of making sure I'm hexed or someone else is hexed is tarot. Tarot is always spot on for me. In a reading for hex, I must see the Five of Swords or the Seven of Swords. It is better bet if they are together. With cards like the Devil of the Tower, Seven of Wands, Six of Wands reversed, or Nine of Wands. If I don't see the Five of Swords or the Seven of Swords, though, I don't even consider that a hex was put on me. But how about you? How do you diagnose?
For me, I start off with the fact that I keep a living plant on my altar at all times. Mm-hmm. That living plant is my diagnoser. So if randomly, out of nowhere, my plant just dies. Mm-hmm. That to me is what I consider step one to maybe I've been hexed. It's not a diagnosis. It is a maybe. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I go to do things like tarot and do a deeper dive in terms of divination of whether or not my plant just died because I have a brown thumb.
Yeah.
Or if my plant has died because it's a signifier to the fact that something malicious has been thrown my way. I will really reinforce what Maria has just said, which is the fact that you've probably not been hexed. You probably have bad luck. I think that the internet does a really good job of creating a constant paranoia within the spiritual community that you are the target of something malicious at all times. And that to me is crazy bananas. Yeah. Why would you be getting targeted? First of all, do you have a bunch of, or even one other witch or spiritual adjacent person that maybe could be throwing something intentionally your way? First of all, and even if you have, what is your relationship like? Do you think it's totally fine? So what reason would there be that they would throw that at you? And while I do think that it is very valid to point out the fact that you don't know who or who isn't a witch, when we look at the actual statistics of people that are practicing witches within the global majority, right? It's a very small percentage of people that would do that. And when you take places like Facebook as a great example, but even like Instagram, TikTok, social media, and the greater conversation, most people that consider themselves a witch will also tell you that they are a, quote, white witch, or they don't practice malicious magic, etc. Because purity culture is alive and well within our world. But that's a conversation for another day. Anyway, my point is that when you consider the percentage of people in the world that consider themselves spiritual or witchcraft practitioners, and then you consider of that percentage how many of them would define themselves as not somebody who practices malicious magic of any kind, the odds are very slim. So
yeah,
but it is worth doing things like having wards up and having these things that we can diagnose with, like the plant that I described. Okay, so after that tangent, if you have done all these things, Maria, and it's obvious to you that definitely you have some sort of hex that has been thrown your way, how would you remove said hex?
Okay, so I have a three-step process. Okay, so first is the full body cleanse, which means I would go into the tub with some Epsom salt, charcoal, and the whole point of this is to lift whatever is on my person out of me.
Question for you on that. Yeah. Do you do an internal and an external, or just an external?
An internal too.
Yeah, me too. I was just curious.
Internal too. And then, as Robin just said, actually do the whole, like, I take some salt and I put it in my mouth for the intention of cleansing inside the body, and then I drink a whole bunch of water. Obviously not enough to get water toxicity, please be smart, but anyways, I do a whole home cleanse. Like, it depends on what herbs I use, but I do, like, I take my cauldron and I put, like, herbs that, like, you know, that help with the hex, especially. I try to fine tune it to the things that are going wrong. So it's kind of like doing that, you know, like the spell that they did backwards. I'm just kind of like choosing what they might have done or anything like that, and putting that in the cauldron and like burning it along with like super like cleansing herbs. Like, oh my gosh, I'm like brain farting right now, but like yarrow and mugwort and things along that nature. Wait, not yarrow. What am I thinking of? Hyssop, sorry. Hyssop. But, and then after, like, I cleanse the house and stuff like that, then I kind of, like, redo my wards. I go and I sweep up the old salt things in the corner of my house and add some new ones. And then I also, like, maybe, like, I don't want to give too much stuff away about what I do, but I go check like my major things.
Tell us all the things.
The major wards, and I just kind of like, I look at them and see if I need to redo them. And then if that's the case, I will do them. But then, okay, so full body cleanse, home cleanse, and then I do a specific spell to break the hex, which is cord cutting or candles or mirror spells. For the cord cutting, I am actually going to be doing a reel on this when the sun decides to grace us with its presence, because it's been dark here all week. But I take like a witch's burr on one end of the cord and I tie it into it to represent the hex. And then on the other side, I put my hair into the thing. And then, you know, I cut it with purpose, with intention. And then I go outside and I smash the witch's burr and like throw it away from my house. And then a normal candle spell, like I'll just do a black candle to absorb what like the bad stuff that's going on. And then for the mirror spell, I will actually make a poppet, and I on the poppet, which is representative of me, I write everything that I'm experiencing on the poppet and I put it in front of the mirror, and I'm like, whatever you have sent to at me, I'll send back to you. And I typically even write that on the mirror itself with like a dry erase marker. But yeah, that's what I do. Sorry, that was a mouthful.
I think that was really good and useful information. For me, I also do an internal cleanse. I do not use salt, though. I use charcoal tablets. Mm-hmm. But I do not recommend charcoal tablets. If you are on any kind of medication, the charcoal tablets can make a null and void, and that is especially important if you're on birth control. That includes eating any food that has charcoal in it. It can make it null and void, so just keep that in mind. I'm not giving this to you as advice that you should take it. I am in fact saying the opposite. So there's that. I use charcoal tablets for an internal. I am not on any medication that would be affected by that, so that's an okay option for me.
Yeah,
that being said, for the rest of it, I will do a physical cleansing bath. And in that bath, I put things in there like rue, hyssop, and stinging nettle. I do not recommend stinging nettle if you have any kind of hay fever. So again, I'm giving this to you as what I do, not as necessary advice. And Epsom salt. So like, for example, I get really bad allergies. So in the allergy seasons, I wouldn't even consider stinging nettle because my body like can't do it. And even then I use just a pinch. Okay, so there's that. That's what I do for my external and my internal. But in terms of actual spell work, I will get a red and black candle. No one's going to be surprised. I'm about to tell you it will be a 7-day. But I get blank ones. Yeah, no one's shocked. I get blank ones and I write on the outside. I have a specific sigil that I use that is a hex breaker sigil that I've made that I've found very effective historically.
I do the same thing. I like have a little hex symbol. Anyways, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. I love that. I will dress the candle with hex breaking oil, and I will put on the top of it stinging nettle and my own hair. I put that candle in front of a mirror, and then I take my scissors, open them up, and put them around the candle. For it to burn. And then underneath the candle, I do a return to sender. That's very similar to your poppet. So I put every single thing that is happening to me that I feel might be hex related, and I make it very clear that I want whoever has sent this my direction to have it sent back to them. And I've found that this process is quite effective. If I know who sent me the hex, and that's when we get a little bit more aggressive. But that's very, very rare. That's only happened like twice.
Yeah.
And he knows who he is. So suck it. I know you're listening. Anyway, we've got fans everywhere, guys. But anyway, my point is that I find this to be an incredibly effective thing for me. Obviously, you can alter that for yourself.
Yeah. No, actually, stinging nettle is one of my favorite things to use for the specific purpose. So
1,000%.
Yeah,
I just find it really effective.
Stinging nettle. It's so nice. If you ever, like, if anyone ever has a chance of going and picking, like, fresh nettle and, like, drying it yourself, it is
just... I wish it grew here. I wish it grew here so bad.
I should
bad.
Send you some. We get,
I would love
like,
that.
Yeah, we get, like, it's called, I think it's mountain nettle, and the leaves are huge. It's
really
the size of your hand. And oh gosh, obviously you don't want to fall in it.
Yeah, I would assume not.
Okay, but we have gone over diagnosing and breaking. What are a couple of your preventive measures?
Okay, so my preventive, I'm all about warts. We've talked about this before in the past. I've got my pee jar under the house, okay? It is what it is. Get over it. Bodily fluids are a part of magic. Just mm-hmm. get over it. So I do have a jar that lives under, well, not under my house, but like right next to under my house, that mm-hmm. is buried, that has nails and urine and all sorts of fun little things in it. All sorts of little trinkets. But I also keep wards in my home. I'm not going to get into too much detail about those wards because, again, if someone's listening who would like to break those wards, I would not like to get too specific. Mm-hmm. But they are handmade wards that are essentially made of a specific kind of clay mm-hmm. that have got ingredients within it that are very specific to my home and the people yeah. within it, as well as like protective sigils, etc., that are drawn onto it. I also keep salt in all four corners of my home that does get refreshed monthly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I just, for me, it's all about warding. I also use chamomile washes on the windows and door frames monthly.
Mm-hmm.
Chamomile is a very good protectant from like things like psychic attack. And especially for me, like I feel like the chamomile wash is probably overkill for most people, but because I do a day job that does involve reading tarot for other people on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
Like, for me, that feels like an extra step that I have to take. Mm-hmm. So that might be overkill for the average person.
Yeah.
What about you?
Okay. So I'm much like you. I do have, like, I do witch bottles and stuff like that. I try to, like, redo those once in a while. I don't redo them often because I think they're pretty, I don't know, they're pretty steady for me. Like, maybe once a year, I don't know, but I also do like the whole home protections and stuff like that, like I do the salt in the corners. I also have like specific herbs above my doors and stuff like that for the purpose of keeping energy out, as well as, you know, bad people and things along that nature. And then I also work a lot, like every single day I work with like my guides and deities. And for my guides, I always ask them, you know, to please protect the house and please protect this home, and protect me and my family from anyone who wants to do us harm. And obviously leaving them out, like offerings for a very job well done, because they do an amazing job and I love them very much. But and then I work with Hecate a lot for wardings in the house and to keep us safe against, you know, hexes and things of that nature, because she is a threshold goddess, so she keeps my threshold safe. So I always ask her to, you know, to please protect my safe and keep us our thresholds, you know, closed off from harm, from anyone who wants to do us harm and things of that nature. And yeah, well, that's one of the major things that I do for myself.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I think that it's just really important to reemphasize the fact that this is really uncommon. I think that the internet makes it seem a lot more common than it is. And the internet also has a lot of really misleading information in terms of what that might look like as well. I saw one about chicken feet that really pissed me off a few months ago, but I'm not going to get into that. I'm not getting into that.
I only laugh because I hear it.
She listens. She hears my rants.
I do. And I love them.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that it's a lot less common than people think it is. And I think mm-hmm. it's important to start season 5 and the new year off with a little less paranoia in all of our lives.
And please stop making TikTok make you paranoid, because it's, as Robin said, it's really, it's not as prevalent as people think.
Yeah.
But do say, protect yourself. Stay safe. You should be protecting yourself anyways.
There's no reason to not. Like, you know, keep your wards up, keep things refreshed and up to date. Like, definitely do that, especially if it's going to give you peace of mind.
The whole evil eye thing, because that's, you know, something even mundane people do, but I also think is not as prevalent as people make it. But that's also a story for a different time.
People make it. even if somebody does like hex you, in most cases they don't know what they're doing well enough that it's going to mm-hmm. be really that detrimental or last that long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, just keep yourself sane out there, guys. It'll be okay. So, Maria, what's stirring your cauldron this week?
That was very good.
Thank you very much. I tried very hard.
This phlegm was doing the most.
This sexy voice brought to you by my cold.
Okay, so I am a very busy person. I tend to be like the primary housekeeper, cook, and parent. And on top of that, I obviously have to work. It can be a lot. And I have to make sure that I'm carving out time for myself to read, chill, or even like do some magic.
But couldn't be me, bitch. Could not be me.
But the one thing I am most excited about implementing, hopefully throughout this year, is taking more classes and workshops. This, of course, is on top of the amazing ones that we already do for Magical Beginnings, but I'm not only doing witchy ones, but creative ones too. But not that there isn't magic and creativity, there is, but it is amazing like how inexpensive I have found online workshops to be in classes for the most part. Many of them like that I have seen that are like short classes are free or tip based. And I've only seen like major ones go up to like 30 at most. Obviously there's workshops that last like weeks that cost way more, which makes sense because, you know, charge your worth. But and I already have like three things that I'm so excited to attend that I have like lined up, two of which are like creative writing workshops. And one is the, I know.
She never tells me anything. This is where I find out that she's doing all these cool things.
I'll send you the ones that I'm going to. Okay. And then maybe you can join me. And one is the Hecate Symposium that's going to be happening in March that I missed the, like, I think they haven't done one in a very long time. And I don't know. Sarita, like, who has, like, all those Hecate books, is most likely going to be doing, like, major things for this, like, workshop or gathering or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just really excited about, like, taking a larger role in being, like, the archetype of the student again, especially without, like, the pressure and responsibilities of being in academia. And
I really like taking classes, like, a lot. Like, I really enjoy them, and I think that it's a massively undervalued aspect of our community for mm-hmm. people that are in the, quote, leadership position. Mm-hmm. I don't know, there's, like, a stigma that we shouldn't be taking classes because we've learned everything we need to learn, and I think that's bullshit. Everyone can mm-hmm. learn at all times.
Yeah, and people always come in with, like, different opinions and, like, viewpoints. I as I've said, like, many times on this podcast, I always find that so fascinating, and I love hearing about it, even if it doesn't resonate with me. Like, please tell me, because I want to listen and understand your viewpoint. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so these things I planned, I have like an hour of planned me time whatever when these come up that I can actively enjoy, and I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. That is exciting. I love that. Thank you.
Me too.
So, Robin, what is not stirring your cauldron this week?
Thank you so much for asking.
You're so welcome.
So, as I'm sure you guys have all pieced together from my sensual voice this week.
So sensual.
I'm sick. So, I had my baby last month. We talked about that already. Mm-hmm. Got sick the day before I gave birth. So I had a really bad cough after having abdominal surgery. And then at the beginning of this month, I don't know, about 2 weeks ago at this point, my entire house caught COVID. Which is so cool. That's very cool for a newborn to be exposed to.
I really hate that for you.
I'm not going to get into the details as to how that happened, but it is not our fault. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave it at that. So I have been a little frustrated and sick and over it, but we are at the tail end of it now. We've all tested negative, which is great. So we all just have like a cold after the fact now, but I'm pretty much ready for my newborn to stop being sick back to back to back. That mm-hmm. would be awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool. Many would say that that would be an amazing thing to not have anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, poor baby. And poor babies. Yeah. I'm so sorry, you
just,
guys.
I'm just tired of it. I've been to the emergency room twice in the last 10 days. Not for emergency, not like because people are emergency dying. Just you can't take children into pediatrics if they have COVID. Mm-hmm. So that is the option. Because newborns come in there. So that makes perfect sense. They shouldn't, yeah. Newborns should not be at a risk for being exposed to COVID. I would
like
know.
Yours.
And so, yeah, it just, I'm ready to be over it. I'm done. I'm actually mm-hmm. checked out of having COVID and being sick. It would be so sexy if it just stopped. That'd be sick. So that's what's not stirring my cauldron.
Yeah, fair.
If you've just joined us this week or this is your first episode, whatever. every single week we talk about creatives, shops, artists, etc. that we are loving right now. These are not ads. These are just people that Maria and I have organically found and think are awesome. And last season we started to incorporate a third option, which is a listener submission. So that being said, Maria, who are you loving this week?
So I am loving wildflower.odysseys, and this is on Instagram as well as Threads. Like, they make these beautiful framed, like, dried floral and insect like art. It's oh no,
cool.
It's just how it's placed is so beautiful, so stunning, very well done, especially their Luna moth stuff, which I really want to get my hands on. But
yeah,
obviously,
I've seen them too, and I gotta have it. I gotta have it.
And they're one of those stores where things obviously go super fast, and they are a little pricey because they are beautiful. They are beautiful, and obviously a lot of hard work goes into them, as well as finding, you know, responsibly sourced, you know, bugs and things like that. So one of these days I will get one of these framed gorgeous pieces. But
I will say that I find it very cool that you can tell that a lot of their pieces are definitely ethically sourced, because mm-hmm. a lot of shops will tell you that their bugs are ethically sourced, but then there'll be pristine butterflies. And that is not real life. Butterflies, when they are living their life until they die, they get their wings tatter a little bit. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a lot. Sometimes just a little bit. Sometimes it's a lot. And so if you see a shop where every single butterfly is perfect, but then they say that they're ethically sourced, maybe they're lying to you. That's a lie. They're lying. And so yeah. I can appreciate the fact that you can literally see, like, I'm just scrolling through their stuff and you can see that most of these butterflies are not perfect.
They're not perfect. And, like, I don't know, just the way that they arrange them is, like, it accentuates, like, the flaws in a beautiful way. I don't know. Personal opinion.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's wonderful. And it also looks like the creator might actually be raising these moths and butterflies themselves. And I really respect that. So that's pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So who you loving?
So I found this shop on Instagram Reels as my little recommended for me. And it's called the Mystical Garden Shop. Mm-hmm. I actually spent our little break trying really hard to be really good about getting creators to talk about. And this shop does candles, like tape, you know, taper candles.
Yeah.
And they're really beautiful. The way that they decorate them is just really nice. They put the herbs like hand placed on each candle. Mm-hmm. And they'll put crystals on there. And it's just like aesthetically really, really nice. So I think that a lot of candles you can, there is obviously intention behind them, but I think that when you are talking about a candle that has been thought through for their ingredients, and then each piece has been like placed on there with intention and imagery, I think that's really nice. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I really appreciate, at least visually, these candles, and you can tell that there's been a lot of love put into them. So yeah. That's really nice to me.
They are so stunning. Like, they're very, yeah. very pretty. They're we very love a beautiful, beautiful candle. Yes.
Yeah. Who is our listener choice?
So I hope I'm going to say this correctly, but it is a fairy.artistant, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would say, so...
Yeah, we'll have it typed up and put in the thing.
I mean, as always, guys, this is listed in the bio, so if you want to see how it's spelled exactly, it is in the bio. Check the caption.
Yeah, yeah, but, so this is a French creator, and they make gorgeous jewelry as really well beautiful. As, like, a fairy decor, and I don't know, everything looks, like, very stunning. And really, I'm so really beautiful. Glad you guys shared this with us because yeah. it was very stunning. You can tell
very, very beautiful
that everything that they do is like gorgeously done.
Yeah, you can tell there's a lot of care put into this work.
I especially like the fairy houses. And,
oh my gosh, yes.
And the candles, and their candles look like they have like ones in like glasses that look like drinks. And yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I also love that you can repurpose the container as a beverage cup later. I love that.
I love it too. I love it when artists do that.
Mm-hmm. So nice. As always, guys, if you want to send us your submissions for creators that you're loving, just shoot us a DM. We would love to see who you are loving. As always, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you, and we hope that we'll see you again on Friday, February 2nd for our next Coffee Talk episode, or February 9th, the second episode of season 5. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and see what we're up to. And don't forget to join us on January 28th with Rachel Henderson for her class on crafting magic for everyone that is in the library tier and up. And remember, if you can't make it, but you are interested in this class, it will be available to watch immediately. So if you can't make it and you want to be there, just join the library tier and it will be available to you.
And if you even join that tier, you get the backlog of all of our classes. Like,
yes.
Honestly, the best deal ever. But additionally, our Patreon, Magical Beginnings, offers our special 25-minute part 2 episode, a huge library of articles about witchcraft, a Discord community full of fun events, discussions, and people. And we even have a tier that offers one-on-one conversations with Robin and myself.
Yes, which is really good. And the people that are in it, we have wonderful conversations with. Mm-hmm. And please, if you are loving our sexy, sensual, chef's kiss voices, take a moment to review us on whatever streaming service that you are tuning in from, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We love reading your reviews, and rating us with 5 stars helps us to be seen by others. Thank you to everybody who has rated us in the past, and for everybody who will rate us in the future. We really appreciate you.
So again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons.
With Robin from At a Tired Witch Everywhere.
And I'm Maria from At Maria the Arcane on Everywhere. You ready?
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Bye, witches! That was so bad.
That was pretty good. No, I think it was good.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.